Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Jesus and Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him and his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And so we have this reading for the Christmas season that is coming, and which we think will be read quite often. Lately, a national religious leader exhorted his adherents not to greet people Merry Christmas, especially Christians, but they could greet them Merry Christmas if the occasion was not associated with Christianity. In other words, if the event was associated with Santa Claus, with happy, anything wrong there? Okay. With happiness and joyfulness, fun and frolic, then Merry Christmas. But don't associate it with Christianity. And today, we see many of these pictures and we'll see many of the pictures on nativity to come in the days that lie ahead. And we won't be surprised, we will not see this scene anymore. Christmas will be about Santa Claus, reindeer, and many other things. But to draw the thoughts of the public to a baby Jesus born in Bethlehem manger, we find that if at all it ever appeared, it would just appear as a formality and nothing much more. Right. Today we shall examine the story or the narrative regarding Joseph and Mary. That's a topic given to me. But I would like to look at this topic in the light of the virgin birth of Jesus. And in connection, therefore, with that, we have to start with Joseph, the father of Jesus. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 that we read that Joseph was the husband of Mary. Joseph, the husband of Mary. That was how we were introduced to him. Therefore, he was not, but please note that he was not introduced as the father of Jesus, because in the verse it says there, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, right through the verses, before this verse, you will read again and again, again and again, so-and-so begot so-and-so, or so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so. But when it came to the birth of Jesus, the format was all completely changed, and we see the sentence of the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. The birth of Jesus was associated with Mary and not with Joseph. Joseph was not the real father of Jesus, as we shall see. And one thing we can be sure, that Joseph's genealogy was linked up with Jacob. And at the right, at the very beginning, King David. In other words, Joseph's line was entitled to be kings, because all the descendants of David would be kings. All right, that would be the introductory understanding that we have of Joseph. With that, let's go on to discuss Joseph in detail. But as we see Joseph being just the father, so-called, of Jesus, Joseph, the father of Jesus, then we have to acknowledge that Mary was the virgin mother of Jesus. What is meant by the virgin mother, virgin birth? First, Mary, in other words, by the virgin birth, we mean Mary was still a virgin when Jesus was born. A virgin, of course, would be a person not married yet. And his birth, therefore, is called a virgin birth. And Mary was engaged to Joseph before the birth of Jesus, espoused to be married, but not yet married, when it was found out that Mary was pregnant. Now, how could that be? Then, Angel Gabriel appeared to her and to Joseph and said to him, "Joseph, do not be afraid, because Mary is conceived, the birth of the baby is conceived of the Holy Spirit." And therefore, Mary, being a virgin, was pure and intact. She was not playing immorally her role. Right. So the fact that Mary was a virgin is also fulfilled in the fact that it was prophesied in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you call his name Emmanuel. Now, the virgin there might not refer to Mary per se, might refer to another woman that would be the sign given to the king at that time. But there would be a double prophecy, a double fulfillment of that prophecy. And that second fulfillment would be in the years to come when Jesus would be born. And so we understand from the very beginning, the virgin birth was not something accidental, but was something that was pre-planned from the very beginning. Why the necessity for the virgin birth of Jesus? As we think of Mary, as we think of Joseph, we must associate them with the virgin birth of Jesus, because Jesus was born of Mary, not of Joseph. Right, why do we find this a necessity? One, to break the line of passing down of sin. We read this morning that Jesus came down to save the wicked. And to save the wicked, he must be bruised. He must die. Why? Because, and we read this morning too, that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And because of that first sin, we read in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned." And that's why today, all of us have sinned. And as long as you and I come into this world through the marital union of man and woman, then the product of that union is a sinful person. And all of us are products of that sinful person, of that sinful union. Therefore, we are sinners. And in order for us to be free from this, this chain of passing down of sin from one to generation to another must be broken. And this chain can only be broken if one of the two can give birth, and not the union of two. Because when there's a union of two, the DNA of the two will come down to the person born, and the person born will inherit what a part of the characteristics of the man and part of the characteristics of the woman, and therefore the two characteristics are passed down, and then you have what you are today, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, whatever it is. Second, to bypass the cursed lineage of Coniah. Now, what happened was, in the genealogy of Jesus, of Joseph, which entitled him to be king, there was a king, Coniah or Jeconiah, mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, and his history is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 22, 28 to 30. Thus says the Lord, write ye this man, Coniah or Jeconiah, childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David. Now, anyone down the line of David could be king. But because of this rascal, Jeconiah, no one could be king after him. Because he, although he was naturally not childless, but all his children and his descendants downwards could never sit on the throne of David. This was a curse. This was a curse. And therefore, Jesus must be born of a virgin. Not the coming together of Joseph and Mary, because if Jesus was born of Joseph, then he would inherit this curse that was coming down from Joseph's line. Third, to bring out the link between it and fulfilled Bible prophecy. Isaiah 7:14, we read that a virgin shall conceive. It was expected that a virgin will one day conceive. It was in the second full prophecy to Isaiah that a person in the future would be born. And so Jesus must be born of Virgin Mary in order to let this prophecy be fulfilled. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a son. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that's what happened. And that was what is quoted in Matthew chapter 1, 23. That when Jesus would be born, he would be a fulfillment of what was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Fourthly, to emphasize that the virgin birth precisely related uniquely to Jesus alone. That when Jesus was born of Virgin Mary, it was only limited and restricted to Virgin Mary alone, and to Jesus alone. That Mary later on would marry, and there would be a sexual union between Joseph and Mary. But the children that would be born would therefore make Mary no more a virgin. Mary was only a virgin as far as the birth of Jesus was concerned. And so we read, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Later on, when Jesus grew up, the question was asked, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judah. And so we find that Jesus had other stepbrothers. And where did the stepbrothers come from? The stepbrothers came from the marriage of Mary and Joseph after the birth of Jesus. So Jesus, after that, Mary was no more a virgin. Now all these are important facts. They are facts, and we cannot deny that. To therefore twist them into other things will make them lies. And therefore, this study is also to show and to rebut the false teaching of the perpetual virginity of Mary. There are some people who teach that Mary was a virgin before she was conceived Jesus, during the time when she conceived Jesus, after she conceived Jesus. the perpetual virginity of Mary. Now, that's not true. That's not true. As we see that Mary had other children after Jesus. Mary was only a virgin for the birth of Jesus. After Jesus, there was no more virginity. To preach and to teach the perpetual virginity of Mary was not right. The Immaculate Conception of Mary, that Mary, because he gave birth to the Son of God, she herself was conceived without sin. That when she conceived, she was sinless. After she conceived, she was sinless because she had the Son of God in her womb. Now, that's not true. Mary died. Mary suffered the very consequence of sin. Mary must be the mother of God because she conceived a son, the Son of God. The baby in her womb was God. So she must be the mother of God. That's not true either. And so this study of Mary and Joseph would show to us as we go along that all these teachings are not true. And yet today they are believed in by thousands and millions of people in the world. We must go back to the Word to establish this virgin birth of Mary and Joseph. So let's study how it comes about. The preparation of Joseph to be the father of Jesus. Remember, the father was not the real father, therefore I have put that word in between inverted commas. So let's study Joseph's pedigree. As an adult, we know nothing much about Joseph. There's very little of known about him. We know that he resided in Nazareth, although he was from the tribe of Judah, in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. He later raised Jesus as a carpenter. He was a carpenter. And Jesus also was a carpenter later on. This is the carpenter's son that we read in Matthew 13, 55. He was a righteous man. Now, this is important. He was, as if we read in King James Version, a just man, a righteous man in Matthew 1, 19. He could have divorced Mary when he discovered her to be with child. Now, what happened was this. When he was espoused or engaged, today many young people, young men, young women, do not go through the time of engagement. The older generation, like myself, we had to be engaged first before we could get married. But today, you go straight away into marriage. Now, in the time of Joseph, it was likewise. Joseph and Mary, they were engaged. Now, engagement was a serious matter. While it would be a trial period for the couple to come together publicly to say that, look, we have the intention of getting married, and therefore to be free from all any bad statements made about them, yet such an engagement was effective enough to be concrete and therefore to materialize one day. It was something that was real. And therefore, when Mary and Joseph was espoused or engaged, it would ultimately lead to a marriage. It was not just a trial. No trial marriage here. It was an intention to be married. And so we find that when they were engaged in that way or espoused, before they could come together, Mary was already conceived. She already had a child in her womb. How could that be? That would mean that she could be unfaithful. And that's what's happening today, even to one of the kings in our country, where he is accused of being the father of a baby. Well, whatever it is, let us remember this. Joseph also was afraid. How could my future wife be pregnant with a baby when I have had no sexual union with her? But the angel came, of course, and told him that she was conceived, or the baby was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he was a just man, righteous man, and because he thought of the prestige of that would marry, he refused to divorce her. All right? So he did not. And that was made Joseph a righteous man, a just man. He only consummated the marriage after Jesus was born. That's what we read in verse chapter 1, verse 25. Very important verse. That he came to marry and consummated the marriage after Jesus was born. So Mary was not a virgin after the birth of Jesus. Therefore, for you anyone to claim about perpetual virginity, that this doctrine means that Mary was always a virgin before the conception and birth of Christ, during the birth of Christ, after the birth of Christ, is wrong, and we cannot receive that. Next one, he was very related to God's word and ways, related to him in his dreams. He was afraid, he was fearful, but God sent his angel to speak to him in various dreams. Three dreams altogether, but we have no time to go through them. We take the first dream, when an angel appeared to Joseph. Joseph, do not be afraid, because the baby that is in the Mary's womb is conceived of the Holy Spirit. The son, then when she brings forth the son, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Instructions given to Joseph in that dream. And it was connected also to Isaiah 7 verse 14. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. And so we find that Joseph was prepared for a virgin birth for Jesus. Let's consider Joseph's ancestry. The list of names in Matthew chapter 1 that many of you refuse to read or to go through because it's so boring. So and so beget so and so beget so and so and so on. You feel so boring, you won't care. I may take another time to really go through the genealogy of Jesus. But for the meanwhile, let's note about this genealogy. That his ancestry was traced to King David. Matthew chapter 1, David, the descendants of David. Verse 16, Joseph was the son of David. Thus, his son, the son of Joseph, who would be Jesus, would be of the royal line of David. That would mean that Jesus was entitled to be king. Just as King David was king, so all the descendants were from the royal line, and Joseph was from the royal line. Jesus was born of Joseph, therefore Jesus must have the right to be king. However, this lineage was marred by Coniah, the king, the last king before Israel was sent into captivity in Babylon, did something that was wrong. Now, we don't know what's wrong. There's nothing mentioned about it. But definitely, it was something very, very against God, so that God cursed him and said, all his children that would be born would not be allowed to sit on the throne of David anymore. So, in other words, therefore, Joseph had Jesus as the son, but he must not be the real son. If he was the real son of David, Joseph, then Coniah's curse would come down upon him. Therefore, the curse must be broken. But because he later on became the father of Jesus, he had adopted Jesus to be his son. Jesus was not the real son of Joseph. Joseph adopted him as his son. And therefore, he became the legal son of David. Being a legal son would mean that it was a result of adoption. Now, adoption at that time would be almost as real. And so therefore, in the end of it all, although Jesus was not the real son of David, of Joseph, yet he was the legal son of David because he was adopted by Joseph, and therefore entitled to the rights of David as king. Jesus was not his real child. The last king in the royal line was cursed, Coniah. But Jesus avoided the curse of Coniah in the royal line. How could he? How could he? Because he was not born of the union between Joseph and Mary. He was legally the son of Joseph because of adoption, and therefore entitled to his royal rights to be king. He did not come under the curse of Coniah because he was not Joseph's real son, as was supposed to be the son of Joseph. That's what it says in the Bible. The scripture is so accurate. Look at the phraseology. As was supposed, not real. That's what we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. At the same time, he qualified to sit on the throne of David because he was adopted, and therefore legally the real son, legally the son of Joseph, entitled to be to the rights of royalty, but not the real son of Mary, of Joseph. Why is it important? He was the real son of Mary. In other words, Jesus was being the real son of Mary. The blood came down through Mary, but not through Joseph that was had a line that was cursed. Mary's line was not cursed, and we find that he was the son of Mary, real son of Mary, and therefore, wait a minute, then how could he be king? Because Mary was also a descendant of King David. Joseph was of the line of King David because of Solomon. Alright, let me illustrate this to you. If we, you don't have to see this, because you are not intended to see this. You need to see the design only. Alright, this is the genealogy as we found in Matthew, and it is regarded as Joseph's line. This is the genealogy of Jesus as found in Luke. All the same here, but here differ because this is the line of Mary. Alright? So this is Joseph's line and this is Mary's line. What is important is both lines came from David. Because Joseph's line... Sorry, what happened? Alright, because Joseph's line came from Solomon. David's son. Then Mary's line came from Nathan. That is a brother of Solomon, a son of King David. Therefore, all the descendants of this line must be kings. The descendants of this line are entitled to be king because of association with David. Now, this line was cursed. This line was blessed. Joseph, from this line, if he would give birth to Jesus, then Jesus would inherit the curse of Coniah. But Jesus was not the son of Joseph, real son of Joseph. He was the adopted son. Being such, he was entitled to the rights of King Solomon. On the other hand, Mary's son was not infected by the curse of Coniah because she was a virgin. She did not inherit the curse of Coniah. She gave birth to a real son from Solomon's brother, Nathan. And therefore, Joseph married Mary, but not after the birth. of Mary, of Jesus, who was born of a virgin. And therefore, Jesus was free from the curse of sin. Jesus had a royal right to be king because he was the legal son of Joseph. Jesus was the real son of Mary and not infected by Jeconiah's curse because he was the real son of Mary. Therefore, you see now the necessity of the birth of Jesus. He must be born of a virgin and not the union of the both of them. Right. Joseph's last days. Very little had been written about Joseph. No more mention of Joseph after he returned to Nazareth. He married Mary, had children after her virgin birth. We read in Matthew 1:25, but he had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. All right, that's why the virgin birth. Thus, Matthew 13:55, we read there was another Joseph or Josephs, and there were four sons by Joseph and Mary. These would be the brothers of Joseph, of Jesus. And there were sisters. We do not know how many sisters there would be, but we read, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and of Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So he must have at least two sisters or more. We don't know. They are not named. But his brothers are named. Four of his brothers of Jesus. Right. And so, to sum up, we see this. Jesus and Mary married, but from Mother, Virgin Mary, came only Jesus, who was born. Later on, after the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary consummated their marriage and they had four sons. And also, at least two daughters, we do not know. And so they will become the stepbrothers and sisters of Jesus. This through natural births and this through the virgin birth. So we need to be clear. Therefore, the perpetuity of virginity of Mary, not correct. The immaculate conception of Mary, not correct. The Mother of God, Mary being such, not correct. These are false teachings that we have to rebut from the very beginning. Mary did not remain a virgin. I hope my discussion here has proved that although thousands of people believe in this doctrine, they are not right, because that is not what the Bible says. Conclusion. Joseph was not extraordinary in character, but exemplary in conduct. He rightly obeyed God in his will, his word, and his ways when God told him to do certain things and not to do certain things. In family life, he was a compassionate husband and caring father. May it be so with all the fathers this Christmas. That is my wish too. Now, very quickly, for the next 10 minutes or so, we just go on to the preparation of Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Was Mary the mother of God? Was Mary the virgin right through her life? Was Mary born sinless? Did she die sinless? Let's answer these questions. The genealogy of Matthew, as I said, would be associated with Joseph. That of Luke, associated with Mary. Her responsibility in bearing Jesus. Now, when she was told, when she found out that she was pregnant, she was very afraid. It might affect and hurt her personal reputation. She was afraid. But the angel came and said, "Do not be afraid, for that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit." However, she was prepared to receive that. Although people may regard her as unfaithful, she was prepared to bear that honor for the Lord. And we find that in Luke 1:48, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Listen, Mary was blessed, but she need not have to be a blessed merged virgin for the rest of her life. She was blessed because she surrendered herself to be used of the Lord. She was a good mother. But in the end, it was going to be heartbreak for her, because she was told by Simeon that the child would be up and down suffering because he had come to suffer for mankind. She was prepared to accept that. And she herself was told, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." So, you see, Mary was not that immaculate and special. She was just an ordinary person, a mother bearing the Son to become the Savior of the world. A birth prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified on the cross, but still she took all this to heart, and she was prepared to be the mother of a Son who was ready to die for the sins of the world. Right. Now, was Mary the mother of God that she should be worshipped? Let's look at the reverence not given to her at the birth of Jesus. Jesus, the young child, was given precedence over the mother. In Matthew's Gospel, we read regarding the account of the birth of Jesus, the Magi, the wise men, saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Note, please, you read Matthew chapter 2, you will find the phrase from the young child and the mother, never the mother and the child. The young child is mentioned first. The angel said, "Arise, take the young child and his mother." The young child is always mentioned first in record in Matthew, and there are 5 or 6 times when this we see in Matthew's record. Only Jesus was given the reverence in worship. When the Magi came and saw Jesus in the arms of Mary, what happened? The Magi fell down, knelt down, bowed down, and they worshipped. And they worshipped whom? They worshipped him. Not Mary. Mary was in the the child was in the arms of Jesus. Jesus was in the arms of Mary. But we find that the wise men, and they were wise indeed, not to worship Mary. They worshipped him and him alone. And they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They did not give anything to Mary. Mary was not the mother of God. Mary was not immaculate. Mary was not to be worshipped. This is not right. The Bible does not say so. The wise men got gifts, because the Old Testament we read that those who appear before the Lord must not come before the Lord empty, and they came prepared to worship. Jesus was Lord. Her relationship in living with Jesus. When she brought up Jesus, how was she related to Jesus? She would not be addressed as mother. Never did Jesus ever address his mother, Mary, as mother. No. How did he address her? Woman. In the wedding at Cana, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" to Mary, his mother. And when he was on the cross at Calvary, he said to John, "John, take Mary to your home. And woman, take John as your son." He addressed her as woman. Likewise, Mary Magdalene, when she wanted to touch the Lord Jesus, the Lord said, "Woman, don't touch me. I have not gone up to heaven yet." It was not woman was not rude. It was a term of reproof. It was not a term of reproof or without respect. It was a term of the right relationship. Look, you are not my mother. You are who the God used for me to be born. You are not my real mother. You are not my story. You are not my mother per se. It was a term to show a right relationship. For Mary and for Mary Magdalene, as I explained, touch me not because I'm going to heaven. Woman. She would have to acknowledge her son as a son of the Father. In Luke 2, 48, 49 and 51, we read, Mary got relationship wrong. When she found Jesus after having searched for him, she asked Jesus, Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing, referring to Joseph, the father. Your father, Joseph, and I have been searching for you. Your father. What father? The Lord Jesus answered, Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Not my father's business, pointing to Joseph, but my father's business, God. So, Jesus made a very clear distinction that Joseph was not his real father, but his real father was up there. However, her son was still required to be obedient. And we find that throughout her life, when he was young, he was always subject to Mary and Joseph, being obedient as children. She would have to accept and share her motherhood with others. When they found Jesus in the temple, after having got lost, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Mary, Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Because he said, Your father and your brethren have been searching for you. Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? The pointed extension, he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Please note, he did not say, Behold, my mother and my brethren and my father. He never mentioned the father. Because his father was up there. His father was not down here. His father was up there. Mother, yes, mother as a virgin. And brethren, others. But then he was expanding that term mother and brethren, not restricted to the family members, but to others in the group, and say, These are my mother and my brethren. What did he mean? For whosoever shall do the will of my father, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And all of us who do the will of the Father, we are his mother, brother, and sisters, but not father. He has only one father, the Father, God himself. Jesus, in his terrestrial earthly relationship, was subject to his parents. He came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. We read in Luke 2:51, and that's what all children should be. Subject to their parents, obey their parents, that's what it must be. Jesus, in his celestial relationship with God, was subject unto the Father in Luke 2:49. We read, He said unto them, How is it yet you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He had in his relationship with God, it was his Father. Believers in their spiritual relationship with him are subject to their doing the Father's will. Those of us who do the will of the Father are his brethren. Whoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister. And I hope with this we all now get a clearer picture of relationships. One with another, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Father, and we do not, and we must not, mix up the relationships, so that he should be given the right glory and honor and priority. We finish. His remaining hours standing by Jesus, her remaining hours, Mary's. Jesus loved his mother and provided her with a son to care for her. When Jesus died on the cross, he said to John, "John, this is your mother. Take her to your home." And he said to Mary, "Mary, this is your son." And so we find Jesus, even at the last minute, cared for his mother. And that's what we be. Children, you have parents. And your parents get old. Care for them. Take care of them. Provide for them a home. This is your duty. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, who has a home up there, but when he leaves for his home, he makes sure that those he leaves behind are cared for in a home. He ensured that his love for him was continued in loving another. Right. How do we end the story of Mary? We find that her last days were spent with the people who were regarded as my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. Acts 1:14, we found Mary in prayer with all the others, with in church partnership with all the brethren and sisters. And so it is important that while we go through this earth, we come together in church, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and not be taken up with false doctrines elsewhere. So, Matthew 12:48 and 49:50. "Behold, my mothers, my brethren, and whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mothers." And to all of you, who also, because you are the mother, the brother and sister of Jesus, you are also my mother, my brother and my sister. May the Lord bless you. Mary stood out as a submissive disciple of the Lord to be a vessel to be used of him. She was a good mother. Imitate her. She was a mother par excellence, and we hope the mothers here will be like that. May it be so with all mothers for the coming Christmas. May it be so with all the fathers for the coming Christmas. I take the opportunity, therefore, to wish all of you a blessed Christmas. Psalm 1:3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." May this be my advanced wishes for all of you. A blessed Christmas and a blessed New Year and a prosperous year that is before you. The Lord bless all of you.